In Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a hadith. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates this hadith. And the meaning of this hadith is as such, as following, that today you people do many deeds, carry out many actions that in your sight, in your opinion, are even lighter than a hair, or insignificant, in other words. You people today see or do many actions that in your sight, in your vision, in your opinion, they are very light and insignificant, as mentioned, lighter or than a hair's width. But we, to these same actions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his generation used to consider these as destructive actions, very bad actions, severe actions. And this is the subject of the hadith. It's very important. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he is warning, giving a warning to the people in this hadith. And not to today's generation, rather that generation we're talking about long time ago. That the generation of the Sahaba, the noble companions, the Tabi'een, the generation after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was discussing with those people at that time according to their environment and condition. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is presenting to us his statements. Now, this generation wasn't far from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were companions present, alive, and there were tabi'een. So it was only some years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. But what happened at that time, physically, action-wise, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is explaining to us that there are many actions that you do now, and there are many deeds that you carry out now that you think they are light, they are not heavy, they're not bad. You don't have any importance of how bad those actions are. You're not aware. You're not considering what you are doing. Allahu Akbar. That how important are the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statements and orders to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statements to us, Allah ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's orders, we have taken them very casually today. So this is what Hazrat Anas sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, that there are many things that you do that you consider very casually in your sight, in your vision. But in our sight, in our opinion, these actions were severe destructive actions, bad actions. So this is, as I said, the generation close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, if we look around today in this day and age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive, may Allah forgive us, then we have gone way beyond that, way beyond that. That what hukum is the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us that has not become a game and a joke. Which order, from the faraid, from the compulsory to the nawafil, to the voluntary, to the sunnah actions, to the wajib actions, to the compulsory actions, haram and lawful, halal, lawful. All of these things, A to Z. In our sight, we have lowered these orders and have casually taken them. Salah, faridah, compulsory action on the ummah, on every individual. And if we just analyze salah, praying salah, then which home is there in the ummah today where people don't pray salah? Which home? Which home? That salah is left, delayed, neglected, not prayed. No importance on such a big faridah, compulsory action. We have no importance. And where we speak about haram, unlawful things, sometimes the ahkams that have been given to us, we hear about these orders in the hadith. Those, if we don't pray salah, we think that those orders were according to the day and age they were revealed in. We don't need to carry out those actions. We say without carrying out these unlawful actions, we can't live in the world. Which home is there today? Today. Which home is there in which there is importance laid on the orders of Allah? Think. Think for a few moments. What day and age are we living in? the environment we're in, and that was the condition then, how the Sahaba thought, and today how we are thinking. But the reality is, the Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu stated that this is not a small thing. These actions that we take casually and think are minor and insignificant, they are the means to destruction, severe destruction for a person. We are sat down, satisfied and happy. We are happy in that home where there's haram, where non-sharia actions, un-Islamic action, somebody prays Salah, the other person doesn't pray Salah, somebody prays when he feels like it, she prays when she doesn't want, he goes to Jama Masjid when he wants to. When you explain to somebody pray Salah, they laugh and joke. If somebody's consuming haram, nobody listens. Our own don't listen, our children don't listen, our relatives don't listen, our family doesn't listen. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that, please tell us the signs of Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. When will Qiyamah come? When will the Day of Judgment come? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained all of the signs of Qiyamah. All of the signs. And today, the pious elders, the scholars in Islam, have commentated on this point with regards to this generation we're living in. And they have said that there's no sign left to become apparent for Qiyamah, except for the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And some pious elders have said that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is already here. So the signs that were explained, they've already come and they're visible. And the biggest sign was what? That the whole ummah, in the whole ummah there will be difference, quarrel, disputes, and such a severe fracture that there is no healing for that fracture at that time. Fitna will be at its height. And the example that's been given in the hadith, this is a very deep point, my friends. We need to think about this. We need to analyze this. And the examples that the Rasulullah ﷺ gave about fitna, you know, tests and trials and challenges and wickedness and evil. Rasulullah ﷺ said that there will be so much fitna in that day and age, just like the amount of waves on the surface of the sea. What's the example? What's the meaning of this example? If you go to the coast and you go to the beach and you see the wave, it rises up high, goes high and it falls down. And then the wave that comes behind it is even higher, if you just stop and watch and observe. So Rasulullah said that there'll be so many fitnas in that final time that one fitna will come and say, oh, this is a big fitna. But the fitna behind it will be bigger. The wave will rise up higher and toss and turn over that wave before it. Fitnas will be revealed, fitnas will bear down on us. And Mahdi alayhi salam, Hazrat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, his coming will be at that time when all of the fitnas will be present. And what is fitna? Fitna, sedition, mischief, evil, yeah, evil temptations, tests and challenges. And fitna, to define it in one way, is that when Allah Ta'ala's adab will come on the people. So when we are living, if we are in that day and age, or when that day and age will come, we need to pay attention to this. But there's no sign, as I said, of Qiyamah that's not visible today. Every home, village, town, city, nation, leadership and kings and ministers and wherever we look, there's corruption. Corruption, fitna is corruption. We have deen by name, Islam by name. We can make whatever we want haram, we can make what we want halal. In the hadith, it's stated about this day and age, the final time, that everybody will have this effect on him, that somebody will rise as a mu'min and be a kafir, a person without iman in the evening. And he won't stand and say, I don't have iman. And then he'll be he won't have iman in the evening, he'll wake up in the morning with iman. So he won't be standing and announcing his disbelief. Rather, his amal will show his disbelief. He will not be able to control himself. He won't be able to explain to his wife and encourage his wife. He'll explain to his wife, she won't be interested. He'll explain to his sisters and mother and children, and they won't listen, they won't care. Yani, there will be so much difference in the ummah that in every home there will be different groups and sects. In homes, different sects and groups and splits. And there will be immense enmity within the family members. They can't sit together, they can't talk to each other, they can't reconcile, they cannot reason. In one home, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? This is wrong. No, you are wrong. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me what to do, etc. Oh. So at that time, what will happen? That adab, Allah Ta'ala's unique adab will come down to the people at the time. There will be such ajeeb and unique punishments. What will those punishments be? About those punishments, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has clarified and explained to us that those adab, punishments, due to the sadqa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I won't deliver those adab to this ummah that the previous nations had adab and punishments. Allah has mentioned in the Quran Hakim that every Nabi's ummah, the adab have been explained. And Allah stated that the adab that I used to give to those ummahs was to wipe them away. And it never happened that my adab came to the previous nations and that ummah survived and then they came again. No. Allah Ta'ala said, when I sent my adab, I would eliminate the evil from the roots and wipe away that evil. And Allah Ta'ala said that ummah became history, then another ummah would come. But here the mercy, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah, glory be to Allah. Allah says, I won't give the same adab. I won't wipe away this ummah and the sunnah. I won't wipe it away. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I won't eliminate this ummah and the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a very deep point we need to understand. What are our lives about? Where are we going? What's around us? What are the conditions surrounding me in my life? How do I survive? How do I become a good person? Get through these difficulties? And which corruption and fitan and mischief and tests and challenges am I drowning in today? That today, and we can say in that time that Rasulullah mentioned, there will be darkness and bad news from everywhere. Every day, every 5 minutes, you can see bad news. If you just sit down and analyze the whole world, then you'll start to become distressed. That what's going on in the dunya today? That, mashallah, you read the news, you look at the news, you hear the news. And if half an hour, if we ponder over the state of affairs in the world today, then a man gets shocked. That's what's happening in the world today. And further, the person who looks, he thinks, I'm protected. It's okay, I'm fine, I'll be saved. But he himself or she herself are, you can say, immersed in the fitnas themselves. We're not saved. We're all affected by the fitna in the dunya today. All of us. So in such a situation, to save ourselves from wickedness and evil and bad effects on our humanity and not to be good people, what do we do to save ourselves? It's difficult. When a flood comes, to save a person oneself from a flood is difficult. Allah Ta'ala says, I won't eliminate the sunnah. I won't eliminate the ummah. Allah Ta'ala says, latarji'un. The adab that I will give to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my adab will be such, the fitna brings adab anyway. Fitna brings adab, and there are fitna around us today. So many fitna. But Allah Ta'ala says, the adab that I will give, la tarja'un, that their hisab, how will I account for their bad deeds? Allah says, I won't wipe them away. I won't. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give them adab in such a way that they will run back to me desperate. My subhanAllah, what a great door Allah Ta'ala has opened, a path for us, that such a severe time it will be, when the challenges and the mischief and the tests will be descending upon us. If we read these hadith and hear them, the hairs stand on end. The signs of the final time and the immorality at that time and the rejection of Allah at that time. And when this hal surrounds the ummah in every home, families, individuals will be overwhelmed. Every man unique, individual will be overwhelmed. For me, for you, you will have a different challenge. He'll have a different challenge. I've got different challenges. Different colors of challenges. That after every wave comes another wave, tossing over it. Every man will be immersed in different problems and corruption and sins. And if we depart from the world in this way, then we'll have the biggest adab surrounding us. So Allah Ta'ala says that the fitnas that will come over you, surround you, affect you, will be what? Allah Ta'ala says that we see everything around us today. What's happening? That after a few moments, if we analyze that, how many people are murdered in the world every half an hour, how many people are killed, and how are they being killed? This is a game. People are playing games with lives. For one person to kill another person, it's become a game today. It's become a pastime. It's a normality. Very easily we say, oh, this many 100,000 died in this war, this many thousand have died in the last few months, this many people have died. My friends, Allah Ta'ala's orders are implemented in the world. Allah Ta'ala's permission. But has Anas radiallahu anhu explained to us at that time that it's the consequences of our actions. We see this and this will increase. Today we are sad like this, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And listen to this clearly. And further, let's hear another point. That in this condition, in this situation, if the insane human being thinks that I'll be saved, okay, it's alright. Just today, earlier on, regularly, news reaches our ears. We realize what's happening. Oh, my daughter, she's run away. My son has run away. They've become rebellious. They've become like rebels. And every day I hear this. For the child to run away, to desert the family. Children, our children running away from home, from our families. Is this a small thing? Imagine the hal in that home, the situation in that home. And every day the news comes. Regularly we hear such events. Children have rebelled against the parents, against the family. runaways, but we're so drowned that slowly we forget the importance. Oh, it's okay, what can I do? All right, they've run away. What can I do? We just give up. And in such a situation, if we think that we'll do hijrah, we'll migrate, we'll be saved, then remember one point, that where will you migrate to? Allah Ta'ala says there's no place. For example, today, if we look around and ponder, that place you'll select that I'll do hijrah here, migrate here to protect my deen, that will have more fitness. Think for half an hour, okay, let's go to this country, or let's go to this other place, or let's go to another place. If you go there and see and experience, rather after you go there and migrate, you say, oh, it was better where I came from. I should go back where I came from. This is the day and age of corruption, fitna, mischief, evil, sins, challenges. So in this situation, is the day and age of hijrah, migration is gone. Which country should we go to? Which city? Which town? Where's Iman? Where's the strength of Iman? Where can we be protected? No. Here we have deception and fraud, different colors, different forms, different appearances, isn't it? So Sharia and Sunnah, we cannot see the sign of this anywhere. We cannot see it. Then a man gets a little bit afraid. If he's not satisfied, he says, oh, okay, it's alright, we'll see. And then he gives up, closes his eyes, and is blind to what's happening around him, his family, himself. But maut will come. Death will come. The mischief and the fitna is not going to disappear. Death will arrive. May Allah forgive us from a bad ending. From a bad ending. So fikr, we need to create, let's inculcate some fikr and worry, that we don't have worry about our life in this dunya and akhirah. If I think for a few moments, what's going on? What should I be doing? Etc. So now if a man, alhamdulillah, even today, Allah Ta'ala says, until Qiyamah la tarja'oon, I've opened the doors for repentance, that come back to me, turn to me. That wherever a person is, Allah Ta'ala says, I will protect you. Wherever you are, I'll protect you. Subhanallah. I will protect you. Allah Ta'ala promises that if we make the niyyah, intention, we want to improve ourselves, become better people, save ourselves from the challenges and the trials of this day and age, from the fitnas that are descending upon our heads, Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors for us. Allah says, no problem. Whatever you've done before, no problem. Allah says, I'll give you a chance, another opportunity. What is that Allah Ta'ala has protected and preserved? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, that my ummah will continue to be saved from every fitna. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has promised that until Qiyamah, until Judgment Day, I will save the people. What is that thing that will save us? Tawbah and Dhikr Allah. This is the door that Allah Ta'ala has kept open for us. Repentance and Dhikr Allah. Very few people in this day and age of fitna, very few people, men and women, brothers and sisters, will get the tawfiq to do Tawbah. Very fortunate and lucky is that person who does Tawbah and the angels descend from the heavens to congratulate him. The person who understands this message, that today is the day and age of fitna, and for me to be saved, it's not my home, not the masjid, nor outside, nor left, nor right, anywhere, no country. Only one action can save me. And what is that? Tawbah. Turn to Allah. Turn back to Allah. Sit down and do honest tawbah. Sincere tawbah. Sincere repentance. That's the only way to success. The only way. What a great, great cure. Great cure and solution. If you say to somebody, do tawbah, I'll see how long. If you say to your mother, do tawbah. Yeah? I think somebody's a sheikh, he's a guide. The Quran has explained to us, save yourself from fitna. Let's do tawbah. Go on. And your mom says, oh, you go and do it. I don't need no guide. If you say to your wife, come on, let's take a guide, a helper. Look how your wife will listen to you, how she'll help you, or how you will help her. Because we don't have feelings for each other. We don't have that importance in our hearts that we need to save each other from fitna. Every child should be brought to this. To this subject. Every individual of the house, this is the day and age of Mahdi alayhi salam, Hazrat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And 30 Dajjal will be revealed, and there will be a Dajjali Akbar, the final one. There will be the Dajjali Akbar who will be opposing the whole Ummah. But there will be 30 Dajjal before him, his helpers. I don't want to describe them. But remember, they will come out in the Ummah before Dajjal comes. And if we don't have fikr on this, our wife, our children, we don't think about them, care about them. We don't help each other, assist each other. Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared the door of Tawbah for you. Allah Ta'ala says that I've sent my walis, the awliyalah to the world. They are the guides. They are sincere, honest people, good people. And we need to go to those people to seek their assistance, their company, sohbat, and do tawbah through their company. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I promise that this action of tawbah will continue until Qiyamah. But when a person wakes up, says, yes, if I do tawbah, then in my home, my wife hasn't done tawbah, my children haven't done tawbah, my mother hasn't done tawbah, then the fitna will continue. My children, they will be like shaitan. They will have evil actions in their life. That if the wife, if she's not on the right path, sincere, then the children will be born, they will be not on the right path if she doesn't influence them correctly. Who will be giving birth to them? That after a few days, 15, 20 years, it doesn't take long for 15, 20 years to pass. In front of my and your eyes, we see the actions of the children in front of us. What happens? But that person will do this, as I said, upon that person will fitna descend. But those who do tawbah in this day and age, the angels will be proud that this man, so good, he's done mujahida. He had no other worry except that he wanted to save himself and his family. He didn't worry about money or wealth. He wanted that somehow I need to do tawbah and bring myself and my family to repentance. Let's forgive, ask Allah for forgiveness. Let's come to the right path. Has anybody got this fikr today? No, nobody. It's not important. We don't need to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delivered us to that path, shown us the path of the sawwaf. We think, oh, this is just for the peer and the murid. This is not some cult, some sect. This is the path that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Wa yuzakkihim, dhikr, the company of a sheikh. This is a hadith. The meaning of the hadith, Allah ta'ala has stated to us that the person who is called towards dhikr is for this reason, so that that person is saved from the difficulties. And is there any bigger ni'mah than this? Allah ta'ala says, I call you to my dhikr is so I can save you from difficulties. Do you know that from the dhikr of Allah, how many of the difficulties are removed from the path in your life, in your lives? How many problems you are saved from, how many fitnas and corruption and evil you're saved from through dhikr of Allah. And such ajeeb, unique fitna is descending today. The fitna isn't that, for example, I have a car accident or I'm walking and I get an illness or a disease. This is not fitna. Fitna is that the person's iman will be disappearing from his life. He'll do actions that are devoid of iman. That's the biggest effect of fitna, that he will be a walking, talking robot without iman in the heart. Not that his wealth is reduced, or he's trying to buy a shop, or he's selling a shop and his stock's not selling, his business is not flourishing, worldly transactions, or he can't get a job, or he's difficult, or he's not praying salah. Look at the loss. I prayed salah, but lost. No, this is not fitna. Fitna are those things, those conditions surrounding us that lead to the loss of iman. Loss of iman, loss of belief. And those fitnas will overwhelm us, take us towards sin. And the person, he will not be able to leave the world when he passes away with iman in the heart. This is what fitna will do to us, that person won't be able to depart with iman at the time of death. The fitnas will eliminate that person's iman during his life in this world. Allah Ta'ala says this. So this is how severely we are in need for protection from the fitnas, the corruption, the mischief, the wickedness in the world. And there's no more important factor than this in the world. Wealth and money and food and children. Allah's promise that I'll give to you. But this Allah has given us the control. The do tawbah, repent, do the dhikr of Allah. Go to a friend of mine, reach to the friend of mine. And do your islah, rectify yourself. So no generation is going to affect us if we are protected by tawbah. No generation, no evil, no fitna, no corruption will affect us. The test then that will come on that person on trials and challenges, and that person will stand firm on the iman. As I was saying yesterday, that the test that will come in the final time, the steps, remember we explained of wilayat, the first we need to have the desire, then we need to have the steadfastness. And remember we spoke about the nafs, the desires of a person that restrict him from going towards good. When a person embarks on the journey of deen, and the dunya influences us and cuts the path of steadfastness, regularity, put us off and joke against us and laugh against us, and problems are created, resistance and opposition from all corners, people looking down at you if you're practicing deen. And the dunya, it affects and spoils the deen of a person. If he starts to practice deen, if a person wants to practice, a man or a woman, the first thing that happens is this, that to threaten that person, put that person off, put him into difficulty, ridicule that person, criticize that person, joke against that person, laugh at that person, make his life a misery. And sunnah is here. There's a sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah was an example for us that how do we get through a period of difficulty, not just one. Many examples were left for the ummah to understand that if we're in a time, amalan, practically and verbally, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the biggest part of deen, to have istiqamat, regularity, to save yourself from fitna. And what will that be? When a person's consistent and stands firm. For example, Allah gives me or you the tawfiq to do dhikr. Allah gives us the tawfiq. So what is my regularity in istiqamat on this? That no gathering majlis will I leave will I neglect of dhikr gathering except if there is a severe reason. Because Allah has given me the tawfiq to remember Him. How can I dare that I sit here and host dhikr and lead this dhikr, or you come and attend the gathering of dhikr? How can I dare to do dhikr in the morning? How can I dare to go to a Makki masjid or another masjid or do dhikr for 5 evenings in the week? All of this preparation and arrangement is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has prepared us mentally, physically, and sent us. If I think, oh, Hazrat's gone there and he's doing dhikr there and hosting dhikr there, he will do dhikr there, this is a deception. There's no bigger deception of shaitan than this. Rather, this is the bigger fitna. Rather, we should understand in our minds that Allah ta'ala has prepared for me his dhikr, and he's given me istiqamat on this, and I need to attain istiqamat here, that every gathering will give me a new opportunity to save myself from fitna. And a person who's lazy on this, neglects, oh, I'll go there, okay, I'll go Makki next week or this masjid next week. If we don't have a sharia excuse present that I can't go to there, for example, I have to go to work, okay, I cannot come to the majlis, then listen on the phone. If you're ill, you can't come, listen through the phone. There are two reasons, there are no other reasons. This is no reason, oh, let me stay at home, drink tea, guests have come. The question doesn't arise. This is such a great action, istiqamah, the regularity, consistency, that if a person stays regular and firm on this majlis, man or woman, and those women are those who listen, and the men, they reach physically to the majlis, those who have the ijazah, permission. And those brothers who don't have ijazah to come physically, then for those, they also have through the mic, through the connection, they can listen to the majlis. So we should be so regular that not one majlis should we leave. And that person who leaves a majlis close to Allah Ta'ala, that person is, you could say, useless. He's immersed in fitna, in corruption, his dhikr has not been accepted, his bayah is not accepted, and he's playing with the deen. He's playing with Islam and his iman, mustaqim, straight path, steadfast, regular. This is not a minor thing. Istiqamah is not on faraid. Istiqamah is not on compulsory actions. It's on nafal, on sunnah, on the desirable actions. If you come today, alhamdulillah, you've done tawbah, you repent after doing tawbah, your direction changes. And your lifestyle changes, your outlook to life changes, and sunnah and shara you start to practice, then until death you should continue in that way physically. And this is istiqamah, the regularity. If you come, you do tawbah, won't consume haram. Until qiyamah, you are consistent and regular that you will not consume or go towards haram. I won't listen to the musical instruments. Then you have to have istiqamah. Allah Ta'ala has promised on this istiqamah that in the world I will make this person a wali, a friend of Allah. And there are rewards in Akhirah, of course. But Allah Ta'ala says, here is where we need to work hard in the world. This is not istiqamah, the regularity. I come dhikr today, then I leave it for a few days. Main thing about istiqamah, regularity, what will save us is what? The company of the sheikh and dhikr of Allah. Yes, and whoever is honest, alhamdulillah, who is solid and regular, and is honest and sincere, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah. And he accepts that Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas are coming to him. Allah has given him his rewards and favors. For example, if I say I've taken hold of istiqamah and I'm regular, as long as I'm not unconscious, I won't leave the masjid with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah. With Allah's blessings. You can see me that I'm not that strong. We're weak. We're getting older. But there's no other path. We have to do tawbah. And if we're not regular and steadfast, then remember this point. We've learned dhikr. Then always, for example, if we are bayah with the hands of a sheikh and I'm not regular, then I say both things will fail. The biggest link of istiqamah, regularity, is Allah Ta'ala says that I invite you to dhikr and I call you to dhikr to save yourself from problems and issues, and you're making a fuss. You are negligent and you're leaving that majlis of dhikr due to sleepiness or laziness. Oh, I can't get there. Make excuses and you have no reason to leave the majlis. Allah's given you the majlis. Allah's given you dhikr. The more you have to make effort, then the more Allah Ta'ala accepts that practice, that amal. The more we crush our desires. And here's another point here. Then in this, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam given an example that this is the example of the deen. A great example in this day and age. That a person to attend the majlis with his sheikh and to take part in the dhikr, this is a great mujahidah, great effort. Why? Because the person has got istiqamah in his life. Otherwise, there's no mujahidah. There's no effort. If a person is attending regularly in the company of his sheikh, the majlis, and doing dhikr, this is effort, working hard, making an effort. Otherwise, it's frivolous. Oh, come sometime, leave sometime, come for 30 minutes, then leave, or come few sessions, then leave few sessions. That person is just carrying out the actions according to his whims, these desires. Oh, it's okay, I'll go for salah, I'll lead salah, then I'll leave after that. No, this is not istiqamah. So there are two selections. Either we drown in fitnas and corruption and we say, oh, I'm going to give up. I can't, there's too many temptations, the children, family, relatives, me. Either this, or I understand, I save myself and I save my family from the effects of corruption. So there are two paths: sohbat of the Shaykh, company of the Shaykh, and dhikr Allah with istiqamat, with regularity, from morning until evening. We can leave everything, but we cannot leave the company of the Shaykh. No way. If the majlis is happening, we are going to reach there. Doesn't matter what happens, we are going to reach there definitely, definitely. Through this, even if I'm ill, if despite the fact if I'm ill, and I know myself, and even then I need to make effort. The more effort I make, the more effort I make, and a person when he grabs hold of this, the more Allah Ta'ala says, your deeds will be accepted, and you'll be protected, and you'll be saved from the fitnas. From the fitnas. So Allah, this is difficult, I can't do this. Or if I say, Allah, it's not for this day and age, or I don't have to go to the majlis. For example, I'm not calling people to qawwali or some sinful action, is this? This is Allah's karam and His mercy. These majalis, these gatherings of dhikr, are the great rahmah, mercy gatherings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings, Allah ta'ala has kept us on the path. We come to the majlis, we're saved from the fitnas at this time. And after that. But for example, I give you the sheets to fill in with regards to salah or the sins of dhikr. This is for istiqamah. We shouldn't put crosses in there. I couldn't do it. We should be regular in every majlis, wherever the majlis is happening. We have to reach there. We have to reach there. That's it. We have to create a structure of life around this. No, I do dhikr in the morning, I leave the gathering in the evening. The gathering in the morning, it's gone, we've lost it. Then we spend many hours in the days, and fitnas have come to us, sins, and this is the day and age of sin, how the sins are descending from the skies. There are hundreds of thousands, and they're stuck to us, and we've adhered to them, we're linked with them, and they consume our iman. They're chopping away at our iman, consuming our iman. And if we don't see the majlis in the evening, then Allah Ta'ala says, that look openly, so regularly the gatherings of dhikr are taking place. Regularly we do majalis of dhikr. Gatherings of dhikr. We're so lucky. Should we not be regular instead for us? Yes, we should be. We should be grateful what Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So this is the reward Allah Ta'ala has given. And from here, the gathering, the generation of fitna, when a person saved, he will be saved due to doing dhikr of Allah. He'll do tawbah, get the guidance from the teacher, and then he'll do dhikr that the teacher prescribes. He'll be saved from the fitnas. Saved. So tawbah, repentance. Tawbah is a great action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the effect to his friends that the person who comes with a sincere niyyah, he is then immersed and busy and regular in tawbah, that the sight of the wali of Allah, it has such an effect that thousands of people do tawbah and come towards the right path. This is a couplet, verse written by Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullahi alayh. Yes, because that same action, the same sunnah of the walis of Allah is continuing. Different names, different walis of Allah. Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, he passed away, other sheikhs came, they passed away, other sheikhs come, and they will come and they will carry out the same sunnah action, to allow people to come to Ustawbah and to teach them and guide them. The wali of Allah does the same action. It will carry until Qiyamah. For example, there's a person who has a laundry. He cleans clothes and he dyes clothes. I pass away, my child will come. He will dye clothes the same way. When I teach him, train him, he'll do the same job, etc. Then when he passes away, his son will come to the same dry cleaners, the same laundrette, and he will carry on washing the clothes in the same way. So the wali of Allah, they will continue to come, and Allah will teach them. Allah Ta'ala will explain to them, guide them, inspire them. And the wali of Allah will teach the people in the world. They will have the same effect, the same methods, the same effects. And the person, the wali of Allah, if his eyesight falls upon the student, the student sincere, then the fares will come to the student and his life will improve. And this is the work that Allah Ta'ala has given, the capacity to the walis of Allah, so they can assist people. Otherwise, how can a wali of Allah teach and give guidance to take the darkness and impurities from the hearts of the people? The sight of a wali of Allah changes the fortunes of the people. And the sight of the wali of Allah is the effect that the generation changes and people come away in their thousands. As Bayezid Bastami, they was walking, there was a man, he was a sinful person, mischievous person, and he was singing musical instruments, and he saw Hazrat Bayezid, and he continued and increased his singing. When Hazrat Bayezid Bastami got close and he paid attention and focused, said, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah," to the sinful person, he forgot his songs, musical instruments, he broke his instruments, he came running after Hazrat Bayezid Ramdurai to the Khanka. "Why have you come?" And he fell at the feet, and Hazrat, "There's nothing left, please allow me to do tawbah." Subhanallah. Strong effect. And he then became a great khalifa of Hazrat Bayezid Bastami. This is tawbah. This is repentance, mine and yours tawbah that we have done. I swear by Allah, if we had done honest, true tawbah, then what color and effect would rub off onto us? What Allah Ta'ala would have given to us, the rewards of his dhikr. Istiqamat, but we haven't got steadfastness, have we? We haven't got steadfastness. The Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, remember, rahmatullahi alayhi, I remember another point that's come to my mind. A person who is in the neighborhood, he was a non-Muslim, and his child used to cry, and he went in the night time, and he went to his house in the evening, and let me see the child. And when he went inside with the light, and there was darkness in the house, and his wife was sitting there, and the child was crying. As soon as he went into the house, the child went quiet, went to sleep and started to snore. And when he left, then the husband came and said, "Oh, I see, you saw a unique thing today. Our neighbor, he came to us today with a light straightway, and the child was crying so heavily before that, and he had noon, and he was a blessed person. I saw a jeep thing that the child is so much sakina, and he was so happy and peaceful that he started to sleep and snore." And he said, "The husband, oh servant of Allah, that why are we waiting now? If a man comes with a light, then imagine the darkness. Can we leave the darkness? Let's go and accept Islam at his hands." Subhanallah. So this will continue until Qiyamah. The walis of Allah will continue to come. The pious people will continue to come. And we need to have the encouragement and drive that if we're immersed in darkness and sin, oh, I don't know, where will iman come from? Allah be rewarded. Not from the appearance where a person is not a Muslim from form and appearance. How? From the heart. How do I know that how much kufr is in my heart or how much sin is in my heart? We all can make our appearances good and look like Muslim. Does it take long to make our appearance and attire and carry out the dramas, etc.? Does it take long? No. It takes 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. But inside, to reform ourselves inside, takes long. Allah Ta'ala says, "I look from inside, this person a Muslim or not?" And the person who is immersed in fitna, immersed in the adab and the punishment, then fitna doesn't allow a person to depart the world with iman. Let's look once around our homes. Once. With these, my daughter, what's she doing? This son, what's he doing? What's this person doing? 5 minutes, analyze and compare and think. That how much iman do we have in our hearts? What haram and awful actions? And what hisab is happening? Eating, drinking, haram, halal, what's happening? 5 minutes, think and do maraqba in the home, and we'll realize, forget about looking outside and telling other people. We need to worry about ourselves and our families. Will I depart with iman from it? The way of these hadith gone, has Anas radiallahu anhu explained to us that those actions that you take casually and consider they're as light as a hair, these were destructive actions in our day and age, and adab would descend due to these actions. Allahu Akbar. So brothers, we need to realize a big warning in this hadith. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. We understand the environment we're in, our conditions, the challenges around us. And one person, that a person who's honest, who has istiqamah and does tawbah with istiqamah, alhamdulillah, he is successful. What priority do we need to give? To our deen, to save our deen. We need to save ourselves and our deen. We don't save ourselves from fighting, astaghfirullah, and wars. That to do tawbah, you have to go on a war and fight and kill people? And shoot people? No. This is not Islam. There's no argument, no quarrels. Everyone's different. But we ourselves individually need to create a connection with our Rabb, with our Lord. Allah Ta'ala says, "Come to me, repent, understand that you've done sins in your life, you've been bad to other people, you're not a good human being." Allah says, "Repent, I'll make you a good human being, and I'll save you from all the fitness." If you don't do tawbah, then you won't be saved from the fitna of the world, from all of the corruption of the world. But if you do tawbah, then I will save you, Allah says, otherwise there was destruction. So if a person leaves all of the fitnas and does istiqamah, so Allah Ta'ala makes us leave the fitna, the sins, gives us dhikr, and gives us a sheikh, and ta'aleem, and education, and good things to listen to. Allah prepares everything for us nicely, and we don't accept, and we bypass this. We come, we go, sometimes we come, sometimes we're sleepy, sometimes this happens, that happens, without an excuse. We go and act like a yo-yo, up and down. We leave those actions that are protection for us, in which there's protection for our deen, our akhir, our hereafter, isn't it? There's a statement I remember, Hazan Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi said a beautiful statement, unique statement. He stated, Hazan Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, and this is definitely in the light of a hadith, and I cannot remember the hadith here, but obviously there were great sheikhs and scholars, they would not speak away from the hadith and the Quran. And Hazan Gangohi rahmatullahi said that if one part of your body becomes a dhakir, starts to remember Allah, then let me explain to you that on the day of judgment, that part of the body that was doing the dhikr of Allah will save the whole body from the fire of Jahannam, hellfire. Subhanallah. The whole body will be saved from hellfire. One part, if it is dhakir, any part of your body. Any part of your body. Can it be this? Can we do this today or not? Is there a man today who can make his heart do dhikr of Allah? Isn't there? There are people who make your heart alive to do the dhikr of Allah. Aren't there? Who teach the heart to do the dhikr of Allah. Have we thought about your children, your wife, about your home, about your mother, parents, that let's tell them about dhikr of Allah, bring them towards dhikr of Allah. We're waiting. Oh, first they will become better, then love will come into their heart, then they'll become better, then we'll do hajj, and then we'll do umrah. We are playing games. Who will come to the deen after that? Janazah is happening every day. Why are we delaying? And when we delay, then the fitnas will have continued in the home. In the home. Straight away say, whatever you are, whichever hal you're in, do tawbah. Repent, Allah Ta'ala will accept. Do tawbah, do dhikr, that's it, end of story. Continue, do what you're going to do, and see how you will be saved if you don't do tawbah. If you do tawbah, Allah will cure you immediately. Just do the action of tawbah. How long does it take to do tawbah? How long? Tell me. Explain to me. Just have to dial the phone. That's it, Hazrat. I'm just dialing. And please, Hazrat, I phoned you. And please recite the kalima for this person to do tawbah, do bayah. But no, we don't dare. We don't have that encouragement, that drive. We don't have the importance in this. We don't know that how, what difficulty I'm stuck in. This hadith of Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, that I've recited in the morning, that these was destructive actions and sins, and that we're immersed in those today if we don't do tawbah. Destructive sins. We're immersed and drowning. And as Anas radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and that's that day and age, just after Rasulullah s.a.w. And we're living in such a dark day and age today. So brothers, we need to work hard. Don't close your eyes and blindly follow the life and just think that we will be successful. No. And another point, Hazrat, Rasulullah s.a.w. has given an example of istiqamah. How should we adhere to haq, to the truth, that this is the path of haq, and I've understood this is the right path, the straight path. When we understand this, Allah Ta'ala says after that, what do we do? And yesterday I recited this verse. What do we do after this? The example Rasulullah s.a.w. has given to us. 3 years, on every footstep we see the example of severity and difficulty in the life of the Prophet Muhammad s.a.w. Hazrat, in Shu'ayb bin Abi Talib, there was the area in Makkah, and all of the Quraysh had boycotted the Muslims. They stopped giving them food and drink. And in Ajib Hadith, the Prophet Muhammad s.a.w. said that we were persecuted so much that 30 days and nights passed in my life at that time, that me and Bilal had nothing that a living creature could eat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, is the Prophet of Allah, the beloved of Allah, the Habib of Allah, Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of the Prophets, the Habib of Allah. He said that if I ask, Allah will turn the mountains to gold. O Fatima, if I raise my head from this prayer mat, that the valley beneath will be full of gold and silver, jewels. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that for 30 days I had nothing. Me and Bilal, my Bilal, didn't have anything that a living creature could consume and bite into and eat. A leaf, we didn't even have leaves that we could bite into and eat and consume. Why? Because I had said La ilaha illallah. I was steadfast on this, firm on this, and this example, this is the sunnah. The pious elders have stated that this is the sunnah of regularity, steadfastness, that when a person sticks to the deen, adheres to the deen, comes to tawbah and dhikr, then he should have istiqamah, that whatever happens, that I will not leave this action. I will not leave this action. And that's when a person attains success. Not today he comes to majlis, tomorrow he leaves, comes Thursday night, goes the next day. No, we will not attain nothing, my brothers. This hadith teaches us this is just a game. We're living like yo-yos. This is not a cheap bargain. This is mujahida. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us mujahida. He gave us the example of mujahida, struggling, in making effort. And a person is shocked after that what a great point we need to think about here. The 30 days and nights that a man doesn't have water to drink, nothing to consume, no dry food, and they didn't get sherbet. Allah Ta'ala didn't give that. Allah's Nabi, the Prophet of Allah, the greatest Prophet. No, nor did Bilal have anything, nor did I have anything. And he was the Prophet of Allah. But he was the ghulam, and Hazrat Bilal was the ghulam. And how did he survive? Severe heat, Makkah, desert environment, the conditions, severe conditions, and how? Because they had istiqamah. And they were regular, they were firm on the path. They said, when we passed the test of istiqamah, تَنَّزُلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, Allah says, then in such a way the help came, that Allah Ta'ala says, then I gave you the promise that came, Allah Ta'ala delivered that promise, then they made an agreement, and then they succeeded after that, the Muslims. Then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of mercy after that. The doors of mercy. So the biggest point here is that to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is the first step. And to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, we need to stick to the path. And now at this moment, what is the path of haqq? As I said, that we're in the age of fitna, and the biggest action, the solution is tawbah and the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Should we do this, my friends? We will make niyyah, intention. Yes, that's it. Don't leave the majlis, don't leave the gatherings of dhikr, don't leave the company of your shaykh. Listen to his words. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. It's a very big ni'mah. Big ni'mah. We should be grateful from our hearts. Immensely grateful that Allah, you've given us a great ni'mah. We can understand this, that how many evil effects you are saving us from the fitnas, corruption, and you are saving us from the negative hal of iman. That how would we pass away with darkness in our hearts? And this is the biggest solution to fitna today, if a person does tawbah. Otherwise we will pass away without iman. The fitna consumes our iman. I may consider that I've got iman, I'm a true good Muslim, but I don't have iman, I'm losing iman. Iman is a great ni'mah, the greatest ni'mah. Let's do dua to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala saves us from fitna, corruption, mischief, and the challenges. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi has done dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al fitn. Oh Allah, Allah, save us from the fitna. There must be a big thing. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al fitn ma zahara minha man batan. And Rasulullah said there are two types of fitna. We need to seek protection from one is the apparent, physical, external, and one are those that come from within. Allahu Akbar, tell me, what a difficulty we're stuck in today. Difficulty upon difficulty, and there's no protection. And what protection do we have? Sleep and nonsense, gossip and backbiting and shop and money and assets and buildings. We think this is protection. But Rasulullah has told us a big dua. And he addressed the ummah and said, "Oh people, when that time comes of darkness, when from the heaven skies a fitna comes and from the earth, and when you reach to the generation of Mahdi alayhi salam, then do dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Allah, save us from the fitan. Ma dhahara min batan. Ma batan." That's such a great dua Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. May Allah ta'ala give us the awareness of this and the ability to recognize this. Ameen.